The most joyous of all festive seasons in Israel was that of the Feast of Tabernacles. It fell on a time of year when the hearts of the people would naturally be full of thankfulness, gladness, and expectancy. All the crops had been long stored. Now all the fruits were also gathered. The vintage passed. Yeah, they made wine. Drank it too. And the land only awaited the softening and refreshment of the latter rain to prepare it for a new crop. It was appropriate that when the commencement of the harvest had been consecrated, there should now be a harvest feast of thankfulness and gladness unto the Lord. That was not all. As they looked around on the goodly land, the fruits of which had just enriched them, they must have remembered that by miraculous interposition the Lord their God had brought them to this land and given it them, and that he ever claimed it as peculiarly his own. Nothing changed. The earth's the Lord and the fullness thereof. This was just a type. If the beginning of the harvest had pointed back to the birth of Israel in their exodus from Egypt and forward to the true Passover sacrifice in the future, if the corn harvest was connected with the giving of the law on Mount Sinai in the past and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit future to them on the day of Pentecost, the harvest thanksgiving of the Feast of Tabernacles reminded Israel, on the one hand, of their dwelling in booths in the wilderness, that God led them to the Promised Land. You leave Egypt, dependent on God, you trust him, you get the Promised Land. You don't trust him, you die in the wilderness. The Feast of Tabernacles was the third of the great annual feasts at which every male in Israel was to appear before the Lord in the place which he should choose, as given in directions prior to the temple, thereafter at Jerusalem. It fell on the 15th day of the 7th month, or Tishri, corresponding to September or the beginning of October. We're 16 days away from it on the calendar of the current Jewish calculators. The first day of the new year, the first day of the 7th month on their calendar, at sundown, starts the Feast of the Trumpets. 10 days later, the Day of Atonement. 15 days later, or 5 days after Atonement, 15 days into the month, Feast of Tabernacles. It fell on the 15th of the 7th month, Tishri, as the Passover had fallen on the 15th of the 1st month. The significance of these numbers in themselves are not to be ignored. More so that this feast, the Feast of the Tabernacles, closed the original festive calendar. They now have Purim and the Feast of the Dedication of the Temple, both occurring later in the season, but both of post-Mosaic origin. The Feast of Tabernacles, or rather as it should be called, of Booths, Sukkoth, lasted for 7 days, from the 15th to the 21st of Tishri, and was followed by an octave on the 22nd Tishri. But this eighth day, though closely connected with the Feast of the Tabernacles, formed no part of that feast, as clearly shown by the difference in the sacrifices and the ritual, and by the circumstances that the people no longer lived in booths. They took them in at the end of the seventh day. The first day of the feast, and also its octave, the eighth day, were to be days of holy convocation or high Sabbaths. And many Sabbaths. That's a confusion about the reports on the resurrection of Christ. The Sabbath day of Passover, the Sabbath day of the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, these are high day Sabbaths. Then the regular Sabbath on the seventh day, Saturday. These, the first and eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacle, were high day Sabbaths. Festive rest in the Lord, no work of any kind to be done. There's yet another important point to be noticed. The Feast of Tabernacles followed closely on the Day of Atonement. I'm reading from The Temple, its Ministry and Services by Alfred Edersheim. The Feast of Tabernacles followed closely on the Day of Atonement. Both took place in the seventh month. The one on the 10th day, the other beginning on the 15th day of Tishri. What the seventh day or Sabbath was in reference to the week, the seventh month seems to have been in reference to the year. It closed not only the sacred cycle, but also the agricultural or working year, and marked the change of seasons, and determined alike the commencement and the close of a sabbatical year, as described in Deuteronomy 31. Coming on the 15th of this seventh month, that is, at full moon, when the sacred month had, so to speak, attained its full strength, the Feast of Tabernacles appropriately followed 5 days after the Day of Atonement, in which the sin of Israel had been removed and its covenant relation to God restored. As the book of Hebrews says, we have so much better covenant, ministry, promises. They had sins forgiven for a year. Ours are covered past, present, and future. And thus they could keep a holy feast of harvest joy unto the Lord, their sins forgiven. Three things specially mark the Feast of Tabernacles: its joyous festivities, the dwelling in booths, and the peculiar sacrifices and rites of the week. The first of these, the joyous festivities, was simply characteristic of the Feast of Ingathering. Because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thine hands, therefore thou shalt surely rejoice, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant, thy maidservant and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are within thy gates. Some have said that more joy is found at the Feast of the Tabernacles, when they gave the most of any feast in the whole religious Jewish calendar. Now, Paul said these feasts were signs or shadows of things to come, but Christ is the substance. Christ was firstborn on the Feast of the Trumpets, fulfilling one of the two silver trumpets and the two trumpets that are blown on the Feast of the Trumpets, the second when he appears at his second coming. Passover. He became our Passover. That's why they wanted him to go to the city earlier at another feast, Feast of the Tabernacles. He wouldn't go. Time is not yet. He must fulfill what was shadowed in the Passover feast. In the grave at sundown on Passover, as it ended, starting the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that he too must fulfill. He had to die on a Wednesday that he might lie in the grave 72 hours to rise at sundown Saturday, which began the first day of the week, and the feast within a feast, the Feast of First Fruits, falling within the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Thus, Passover had to fall on a Wednesday. Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples on Tuesday night. The Passover of the temple rites on Wednesday. He was crucified, laid in the grave Wednesday night, rose at dusk after sundown on Saturday night. You go to a sunrise service or just follow the heathen who worship the sun. He was already up. Pentecost was fulfilled with the falling of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. And the law produced 3,000 dead. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, discovering their disobedience around the golden calf, the falling of the Spirit produced the harvest of 3,000 born into the kingdom, and then the Lord added to his church daily. His second coming will be on the Feast of the Trumpets. He won't come this year. I don't know when he'll come. I just know when he comes, it'll be on the Feast of the Trumpets in some year future. The tribulation after the church is caught away, because the body of Christ must not be smitten twice. We're not appointed under wrath. Those who did not accept the atonement of Christ will go through the tribulation, where not the tribulation of this world, but God's wrath is poured out. And then they will recognize whom they have pierced, and having accepted Antichrist, will be delivered by Christ. And then the millennium comes. The one feast God's going to make the whole world keep through the thousand-year millennium is the Feast of the Tabernacles. The Jews will keep it at Jerusalem. Nations will be compelled to come. If they don't come, God will smite them with a plague. That's in Zechariah 14. And that should tell you the importance of the Feast of the Tabernacles. The whole world's going to be taught how to keep it and its meanings as we teach it by the Jews, the church be ruling and reigning with him. And thus the Feast of the Tabernacle is ongoing in God's mind, and that's why we make it so important in the fall. They gave 203 sacrifices in that week. That's why I ask you to do the same. How do we enter into the spirit of the Feast of the Tabernacle? They gave, if you want the exact figure, they gave 199, if you want to add them up in numbers, 199 sacrifices through the 8 days, counting the octave, the 8th day. And then I simply added 4 to our number to enter into the spirit of it. They also gave the meat, the peace, the drink, and the meal offerings. 4 more, making a total of 203. I said, it's the spirit of thanksgiving to God for what he has done in the year previous, and the expectancy as we recognize him and give ourselves to him, he will take us through the coming year. Enjoy in that knowledge. And to enter into the spirit of the Feast of the Tabernacles, I've said, why don't you give 203 units of your currency wherever you are in the world? In the United States, it's $203. And we'll extend the time from now until Thanksgiving time, or at least until our anniversary Sunday, the first Sunday in November. And every year, I expect to see, as you're taught and appreciate God's Word and His care of you and His leading, through the good and the bad, He's there to testify to that by joyously giving $203 in the United States, or whatever your unit of currency is, to say, I want to enter into the Spirit of the Feast of the Tabernacles, where they gave this vast amount of sacrifices in a barter economy. They gave of the best that they had, more sacrifices than any other time throughout their entire year, to express appreciation to God for having taken them through the year, now at the Feast of Ingathering, and expectancy that He would care for them in the coming year. That's what the Feast of the Tabernacles offering is about. And I want more of you on the phone saying, I'm joining the spirit of the Feast of the Tabernacles with your 203 offering added to whatever else you're doing. Now get on the telephone.